Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you're telling me the reason we didn't get the Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania 31 is because of Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
Yep.
This is supposed to be, this is WrestleMania season, Brian H.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And now the tea's being spilled. And you mean to tell me that in the middle of this special holiday that we call WrestleMania season, we find out that the reason we didn't get Undertaker versus Sting is because of Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
You're just going to keep saying his name now.
Because if my stuff goes out, you guys got to continue the show, because this is pissing me off. Because tonight we have got to talk about this that has recently come out, not to mention the biggest WrestleMania misses and what ifs of all time. Gentlemen, I know this is a joyous holiday, but sometimes you got to take a step back and do some retrospective. We have all that and more after the intro, because you mean to tell me that the reason we didn't get Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania is because of Vince Kennedy McMahon? Nah, bro, we got to talk about this. Nope, I'm not doing this, man. Hit the intro. Here we go. Welcome to the Wrestling Realm Now podcast, where you take a deeper dive into the world of professional wrestling. Now, you can watch all of our Wrestling Realm content anytime on youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Follow us on all social media platforms, including and not limited to Instagram, X, Threads, Facebook, and every other place you can find the Wrestling Realm. I don't know, we got plenty of social media places to find us. But not only that, you can download all of our audio content anytime on Anchor, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And watch our Twitch channel. Subscribe as well at The Wrestling Realm. I am your host, the realness himself. I'm very perturbed today, but it's okay because I'm as real as it gets. The real Dwayne Allen. He is your host, Brother Hugh. That's the third. A to the A to the S, T to the H to the E, 3 to the R, to the D. Super producer in the building. He is your host, not just any guy, but the guy, the Belkin himself, Brandon, the guy in the building for tonight's show. And he is the heart and soul, the creator, the founder of the Wrestling Realm, the man, the myth, and the heel. Brian H. Waters in the building. Welcome to the Wrestling Realm. This is a special WrestleMania, like a WrestleMania preparation round, because in order to step forward, gentlemen, we have to take a step back real quick. But it's okay though, because for those who want to take one step forward with us, head over to WrestlingRealm.com, where you can shop all of our Wrestling Realm merchandise and apparel. You can get t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more. That's right. So if you're looking to support the brand or the Wrestling Realm, you want to dress like us and show that you're a proud wrestling fan, that is the place you can do so. Head over to WrestlingRealm.com for all your t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more. Pretty soon, we'll be doing some unboxings on the show to give you all just a closer look of our new merchandise. There's a reason we haven't shown you anything new, because trust me, it is coming. So just be patient with us. But until then, if you want to jump the gun, you can do so. WrestlingRealm.com for all t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more once again. But not only that, For all exclusive shows and bonus material, subscribe to our Patreon channel at patreon.com/thewrestling_realm. Once again, for all exclusive shows and bonus materials, you have something to say, Brian H?
No, I was like, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So he was just testifying. Okay. I appreciate you testifying. But guess what? You know what you can also testify about, brother?
What's up?
We are headed to WrestleMania, and if you're looking to purchase tickets to concerts, live shows, sporting events, and much more, head over to SeatGeek.com where you can use the promo code WrestlingRum for any one-time purchase of $50 or more. That's right. We have partnered with SeatGeek, and we have our own promo code. WrestleMania is still around the corner. You have WWE World. You have Wally Mania. You have so many events going on in the Philadelphia area for WrestleMania 40. And you can use promo code WrestlingRum to save yourself a few dollars. So head over to SeatGeek.com. Once again, that promo code is WrestlingRum. Remember, all one word, two W's. Get $20 off your WrestleMania tickets or any one-time purchase of $50 or more. Trust me, the tickets are going to cost you $50 or more anyway. So definitely use that promo code. And if you signed up once, do yourself a favor. Just sign up with a different email. Yes, that is completely possible. But if you would like to advertise with the Wrestling Realm, please reach out to us at WrestlingRum@gmail.com with the subject line saying advertise. And we'll be sure to reach out to you with further details. So if you want to partner with us, you want to promote your show, anything you have going forward, join up with us and allow us to help promote your brand, your show, whatever you have going on. So remember to contact us at WrestlingRum@gmail.com. Don't forget the subject line, advertise. Now, with that being said, this is the best time to advertise. One of my favorite parts of the show. Hit the button. Season 2 of Championship Culture is underway at youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Brandon the guy, Brother Hugh has the third, have come back, and they've come back strong with season 2 of Championship Culture. If you missed out on season 1, once again, head to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Playlist Championship Culture to catch up on all of season one. But guess what? Season 2 has been far and above and beyond anything that we could have even imagined. Championship Culture is probably one of the fastest rising shows on our network of content that we're trying to put together for you all. And guess what? They had one of those shows last night, Tuesday at 8 p.m. And guess what? This show was very near and dear to the realness himself for a very, very important reason. But guess what? I'm not going to sit there and tell you why. I'm going to allow the Bell King, Brother Hugh, has the third, explain what yesterday's show was all about. Gentlemen.
You say it, Brother Hugh. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm not saying anything because a certain individual came on the show and took over the show.
The audacity.
Yeah. So I'm just going to leave this right here.
Oh, Lord. Oh, who's that?
And I'm going to let y'all rock.
Well, for those people that can't see, let me describe this picture to you. You have the prestigious, gorgeous looking Big Gold on the left. But it, you know how Hollywood took that black spray paint and wrote NWO over it? It looks like the realness of realness takeover. As he's sitting with his TRDA brand, you know, the CEO of TRDA on the right side. And, of course, he just slapped himself right in the middle of Championship Culture, the WCW edition. Because this man, if you do not know, he has an affinity unlike any other for these WCW belts. So I think he just took himself fitting to say, this is one of my five shows that I'm going to do. And guess what? He just came in and said, boom, I'm kicking down the door. I'm here, and this is what I came to discuss. So, realness, this is usually when we hear the paper shattering and the notes and everything, right?
But maybe not. I'm not as predictable as you think.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see what happens, because yesterday was a very in-depth and intense, as I might say, show. And between Hugh working his fingers to the bone trying to keep up with us, between you just spitting out fire, the comments was on fire, the viewership was there. We went from 20 viewers at one point to 60 viewers. It was a very engaging, and it was a different, when I say a different type of realness, this was almost like, you know, his alternate version. But we're going to leave it at that, because this was a different version. This wasn't the realness. This might have been like
There's always a belt reference somewhere with these guys. There's always a belt reference. You just can't get away from it every single time. It never fails.
It's like version 2.0 of you. But go ahead. Well, let's see. Does he have notes? I want to know, does he have notes on himself?
You guys, you like what? Listen, I was. Let me just start over. So, yes, this episode of Championship Culture, the realness did decide to take over. It's because Brother Brandon, the Belt King, has a bias against WCW Championship Belt. Now, we all know that WCW gave us some of the greatest championship belts of all time. Also attached to those championship belts, such strong lineages. Now, the Belt King, Brother Brandon, didn't really see it that way. So it was my job as the realness to come and try to bring a little education to help bring his mind back to the forefront of how prestigious and important those WCW championships were. That's all I tried to do. I was just trying to help. As my man Hustle Man used to say, Martin, I was just trying to help you out. And that's what I tried to do. Now, if you're assuming I have notes, it makes no sense for me to have notes because I was actually on the show, right? Well, you're wrong. I've got notes.
Here they go.
Here it comes for everybody.
Hold on. Let me give you a proper backdrop. Look, let me help you. Let's see. Where's the middle? Is that the middle?
Yeah, that's in the middle. There you go. Okay. So, go. Season 2, Championship Culture. The show is entitled Championship Belts. WCW belts, excuse me, Championship Culture, WCW belts. It's because I had to say, okay, we can't talk about every belt having a story without telling some of the greatest stories of all time. And he used one of your references, Brian. They should talk about how we grew up and during this time period, wrestlers were known for going across the street. That was a nice homage to you, Brian. I was like, oh, that was cool. I like how you did that.
He always said he walked across the street.
Yeah, that was one of the
greatest. They tagged.
Explain that theory real quick, right, to those who are listening of your interpretation as a
So as like 4, 5, 6 years old, I knew that, like, I was always watching wrestling, right? So I knew, like, Rick Rude, always associated with Ultimate Warrior. Like, as a child, that was Ultimate Warrior's biggest feud for me. I know, you know, people could say Hogan, whatever, but like, because I remember vividly watching SummerSlam as Willow just did a Sky Blue just did a Canadian Destroyer on the Willow Nightingale on the table. Wow.
That's intense.
And then, yeah. And then I knew Ric Flair just belonged on TBS on Saturday nights. But one day I turn on the TV, I see Rick Rude facing Ricky Steamboat in WCW. Mm-hmm. And then I see Rick Flair in WWF talking about he the real world's champion. So I just assumed they just walked across the street.
Such a confusing time for a child, I can imagine.
But I'm glad I didn't have like the luxury my daughter have to, you know, understand like somebody got a promotion.
Right. Yeah, but see, one thing that my beautiful godchild has is he has iPads with information attached to it. We had nothing. But with that being said, I do have notes. It's because we got through the show. The show was very intense. It was very high energy. I got a chance to cut up because I didn't have to do anything. I just showed up and ate. I did my best to be as disruptive as possible to the show, as I usually do, as if I was in the chat. Now, there was something mid-show, and I want you guys to go back and watch it, because we talked about everything from the WCW Cruiserweight Championship, the WCW Television Championship. Most notably absent was the WCW United States Championship, and I want you guys to hold that in your brains. It's because it was for a very specific reason that was omitted from that particular show. So don't be surprised. And also be on the lookout for the United States Championship. And I'm going to leave it at that. But it was not discussed, but we discussed.
Good teaser.
You like that? That was smooth. The big gold and the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, Brian H., I want you to weigh in on this one, buddy, because your name was brought up about this too.
Yep.
Midway through the show, there was a question that was proposed that had to be thrown out. It's because we were already hours of change in, and we had about 15 minutes left to get through. A question was asked, and I have my notes. You ready, buddy? It's for you, buddy. Brother Brandon asked a question midway through, and I was like, nope, we're not doing this. He asked, let me ask you a question. He goes, the prestige, where does the Big Eagle and the Wing Eagle in that legacy and lineage match up versus the Big Gold in that legacy and that lineage? And immediately, we had to stop. I said, we're not doing this tonight.
Comments start going off. Yeah,
exactly. See the look on Brian's face? That's exactly what I said. I said, no, we're not doing that, because guess what? I know you guys don't like to go long, and we have 15 minutes left. That's right. An entire show in itself. But it was a question that has haunted me for the last 6.5 hours because that's the last time we got off since all these shows are late. I was like, wait a minute. This is a conversation that has to be saved for a different day. But if you want to hear where that went and what else we had to say about it, you're going to have to go back to, once again, youtube.com/The Wrestling Realm Championship Culture Playlist. WCW belts to find out what else was said on that show. Trust me, you don't want to miss the information that we were given. I think I almost changed Brandon's mind about the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. But like I said, every Tuesday, 8 p.m., youtube.com/The Wrestling Realm Championship Culture Playlist.
And so you're not going to get away with this one.
Brandon, think about what I said. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what he's trying to propose? Okay.
He's marinating over there because it's going to be that's going to be a super mega show with that one because so many people in their top five, their top ten, it always has the big gold in it. I don't care what whoever we ask, no matter who it is, they always say the big gold. But Dwayne, you're not going to get past this one point that you made a comment, and this is for people to hear. This is not true. I'm going to dispel this myth because I'm very honest when I get a new belt. Some people just don't pay attention. Some people just forget. The realness said, oh, he won't admit that he wants it. It'll just be in the background one day when we're watching the show.
Yes, the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. And he's like, oh, I think I have to get it now, but I don't want you to be right. I said, that's your pride talking. I told him, don't worry about it. You don't have to say a word. Just do what you always do. Order the belt. Do a random unboxing. And just stick it behind you in front of one of your shows. And then later on, just use it and do a separate unboxing video. It's kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you do.
That's not
true. It is.
That's
because look, because
you don't you agree with them. Whose side are you on?
I'm just saying it's the truth.
Right is right. And hate against WCW is hate against WCW.
Just because I held one belt from you, you're going to hold that against me.
I am. With that being said, there's that.
I held one belt from you. One belt.
So I'm once again, everybody. Nope, you're not. YouTube.com/The Wrestling Realm Championship Culture Playlist every Tuesday, 8 p.m. That's where you want to be. Now, with that being said, brothers, we got to get this show on the road because I'm frustrated. We got to get to the road.
Tell them why you mad, bro. Tell them why you mad.
I'm about to tell them. This bothers me. Like I said, this is supposed to be a joyous time of the year. This is WrestleMania season. We're supposed to be getting ideas, coming up with speculations because we're just over 2 weeks away. You know what I mean? Before the biggest WrestleMania of all time, as they're pegging it, WrestleMania 40 live in Philadelphia, April 5th and April 6th, the brothers will be in the building. And yet, instead of focusing our time on that, we got a little bit of news, a little bit of tea was spilled because now everybody's letting it out and we got some information. And guess what? It is brought about tonight's topic of this particular show. And we are talking about today the biggest WrestleMania misses and what ifs of all time. And it was based off one particular subject, which we talked about before the intro. But there has been plenty, plenty more. And the good brothers are here to talk about it today. So, gentlemen, with that being said, real quick, what did you guys watch this week? Hold on. Let me hit the graphic button. Hold on, everybody. I know you're listening for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait, 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 wait. Here it goes. You know what? It's WrestleMania season, and we have a tough subject to get into today. What did you watch this week? Friday. You've been busy. What did you watch this week,
sir? I'm gonna switch it up. I've been you know, had a little bit of time, and I've been delving into some WWE 2K24.
Oh,
and I've been playing the showcase mode. So I just finished WrestleMania 20. Kurt Angle and I did finish the next one, which was Kurt and Shawn, but Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero. So it made me throw in WrestleMania 20, which I have on resume right now.
You gave up on Rampage?
Oh, it went off. No Mercedes.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, okay, yeah. All right. Well,
yeah. I mean, NCAA March Madness. So that means, you know, no Young and the Restless tomorrow or Friday, no Rampage this week.
Don't sound so disappointed.
Well, look, the tournament got to go one-on-one with the Tribal Chief on Friday, so we're going to see how that do.
Oh, yeah, we'll be watching, won't we?
3 more years, man. That's what Jey Uso said.
We're going to get into that because I listened to your show earlier. I listened to Wednesday's Worldwide. Shout out to you and the gang at the Ring of Wrestling, the Ring of Wrestling show. First of all, getting ready to talk about the Bloodline. You talk about me being long-winded. I was like, no, don't ask him that question out of all the things. Brian Ace, would you mind knowing another three? See, Kyle was like, oh, I'm patient. I've learned to handle these things. Brian Ace was more than enthused. But
hey, I put an extended clip on TikTok because you know TikTok likes you to go over a minute. So it's an extended clip on the Ring of Wrestling TikTok. Follow that because I'm trying to get to 2,000 by next week.
Lofty goals, isn't it?
Hey man, that's what we do. And especially we going to definitely destroy it come Wally Mania, but I gotta get my mind right for that one. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Not touching it, run at the dark.
No, not even. I'm just saying the work I'm planning to do.
Was something else. Work, something.
Well, Wally Mania, it's a great time in my life, I have to say, though.
Listen.
Even though last year I cried.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I'm glad you told the world that.
Somebody sent me a text message. I had to go in the room and get myself together.
Was it Cody Rhodes?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
But Cody would have cried, too, if Brother Hugh texted him while he was at Wally Mania.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, this.
Listen, you got the same message.
Brother Hugh is the same guy that's responsible, single-handedly responsible for Dolph Ziggler going back to the white boots. So let's not negate this brother's influence. Single-handedly, the only reason that man even considered going back to those white boots.
Yes, sir.
And y'all would have seen the look on his face. He was like, that makes sense.
Bro.
Like, he was spinning facts on him. He like... Oh,
Brandon, I would have been pissed the fact that he was like, okay, he kind of brushed it off. But Brother Hugh didn't take no for an answer. He said, nah, but hear me out, though. White belt, white boots, and the rest is history.
Right. He came out there with the... I'm telling you, when Hugh said that message saying that, what you call
white
it?
White boots.
He said, I just waited to see if he had on white boots. I said, I knew it.
I flipped out of my goddamn chair. I said, he's got the white boots.
With the what? The red pumps.
The red pumps.
Look at the white boots. Look at the white boots. Brother Hugh, since you're the man,
hey, Stephanie Hardy said she cried too. I don't remember seeing Steph cry, but I'm interested now. I'm nosy.
Was she there? Oh, okay. So she said,
yo, we had wings before the meet and greet. Because I told her.
See, these events all run. I remember you telling me that's the crazy part, but all these events run together for me.
We walked out. I had to like get the equipment from the meet and greet and then walk over to Wally Mania. It was like right around the corner. But that's when I first saw Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first, no, the second time we met, because the first time was at BWF, Black WrestleFest. So when she came over to the table, I said, Steph, good to see you. Haven't seen you in a long time. Check out these wings because they bang it and me and Cal smashing them. But you got to have one. Like, you know, as good people, you know, I obviously can't. Trinity's tribute definitely makes sense. You know? But I can't give the Southern hospitality the same way. But, you know.
You know what's crazy? It's because the same way, the same way you shared that moment over wings, is the same way that me and Brother Hugh, we shared. Like oxtails in New York at the restaurant for the after party.
You had oxtails.
I don't know if Brother Hugh, did you get oxtails? I think I got oxtails, and I think Stephanie did. Like it was me, Brother Hugh, and Stephanie.
We were they had oxtails. Yep. And a cheesesteak.
It was. He was on that making the band type stuff. Talking about cheesecake,
right?
Yeah, no, cheesecake.
Oh, cheesecake. I thought he said cheesecake. My bad. I was like, you were Junior's cheesecake when we in.
You remember it was Jay Bougie's 25th. So I bought him a couple of drinks.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to say, but that was all part of the story. You know, everything got a story. He tried to say I was trying to get him drunk. But yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. This is a great food moment. But, Brother Hugh, since you're the man with the master plan and you're the one bringing everybody together through food and white boots, what did you watch this week, sir?
Wow.
I kind of went down a rabbit hole just kind of preparing for the shows.
By the way, I like it when you're down rabbit holes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude to keep interrupting, but you guys make me happy sometimes.
Hey, like, it is what it is.
What was the rabbit hole you went down, brother?
Well, WCW Cruiserweight.
I knew it.
For the show Championship Culture on Tuesday, yesterday. And also went down a WrestleMania rabbit hole for tonight. So. That's what I've been doing. Just been.
Can I ask you a question, bro? What did you see stuff, that you just liked? Did you just enjoy it?
Oh, come on, man. We said it before. It's the cruiserweights. When I think WCW, it's all cruiserweights for me. That's the reason I watch WCW.
So, that was
it.
Them and Booker T.
That was it.
So my question is, why didn't you see this last night? You could have jumped in. I've seen you jumping on shows any other time.
Oh, yeah, I could have.
You didn't jump in at all and say anything.
I'm sorry, like, say that again. Why didn't you jump in?
I didn't know. I didn't because you were doing such a great job, you know, just describing everything. And
thank you, brother.
Putting the insight out there, you know, so I didn't want to just rush it all to you. You know, you had great chemistry. So. Plus, I was doing my thing back, you know, behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? So.
Now, you was killing it, first of all, Brian H. I don't, like, we want the show, right? You know, I'm about to make Brian H. Max. I'm about to give you another compliment, Brother Hugh. We want the show, and I just, all you hear was this, Brian H. And I'm like, what was that smell? It was Brother Hugh cooking these graphics that he had for this WCW show.
I was like, no, your reaction was probably, he was like, oh, look at that. Oh, look, go back to that. Hold on, go back to that.
I had to make sure.
He was
like, I saved it to my phone, buddy. Like the Booker T one, I think I'm mad I took it down because I didn't think we was going to need it, but I should have took it down. But man, that Booker T one was fire. You know, it saved in my phone. It's going to stay there for a while.
No, that Rey Mysterio one, you said, no, go back to that. Oh, look at Billy Kidd.
Now, Listen, Brother Hugh, his resume is building like no other, man. But trust me, I can appreciate you going down that WCW rabbit hole. Because trust me, you're not the only one. But before we get into that, like I said, I gotta ask the Belt King, the guy. What did you watch this week, sir?
First off, I have to stay away from old school Monday Night Raws because since Hugh pointed it out, I did not realize how much chaos it was on every episode.
It was
one straight match on Monday Night Raw for like a 5-year period of time. Like, I went back and watched, of course, the WCW stuff, but I wanted to watch Booker T to see if the match is still held up. Him and Kurt Angle match still was good to this day.
Held up.
No, what I'm saying is, you know how the chaos kind of overshadow it? I felt like if you watch it now as a day, it's just a good match. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is still a good match, how I remember it. But I remember it. But the rematch is the one that stuck out the most because, remember, Booker T came to the ring with bug eyes, and then the WCW locker room was fighting. Kurt Angle fighting along the WWF locker room. It was just, and then Shane McMahon around. I was like, why is there so much chaos? Like, I just want to get to the match because it was the rematch for the WCW title, so that way he could be the five-time, you know what I mean, champion. And it was a crazy thing. I was like, this was exciting as a child, but I feel like I'm just like, peel off the layer, give me the match. But I'm like, maybe we need more chaos now because we've moved away from that style of wrestling and that type of, I don't want to say booking because I don't want to say it was bad booking. I want to say it was good booking. We've just now been kind of conditioned that chaos only fuels a storyline. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, it's, you know, we talked about the Booker T belt. I feel like going back and watching some of those, I feel like that big gold kind of became Booker T's belt. Like, you think about Flair first, now I'm like, that is actually Booker T. Because he, watching those, man, I'm like, he really put the work in. He definitely was entertaining us. And it was like a different feel than Ric Flair's feel for the belt. So I feel like, you know, I wanted to put other people like, I don't want to say Booker T, like in the top five, to hold that belt, he sits in there. But I feel like he's etching more towards 3 and 2 now, as opposed to being 4 or 5. So,
no, because if you think about the time periods like of WCW and their champion, they was like, this era, this guy dominated. And then like this era, this guy dominated. Like this era, this guy dominated. And if you think about that last era of WCW when it was kind of in the toilet, Booker T was the man. Like, think about it. Booker T was on the last Nitro show. He showed up. He finished the main event. Him and Scott Steiner. He was as world heavyweight champion and a United States champion, right? Mm-hmm. And he went into WWE as WCW world heavyweight champion. So it's like, you know, he was very dominant.
That's what I said, awesome. Man. Dark Side of the Ring, the Bash in the Beach episode.
Yeah,
yeah. That was good. I watched that one.
Okay,
I watched it. I'm sorry. I don't know if I told you guys that because you know everybody knows that I don't watch Dark Side of the Ring. It's too depressing. But there was two episodes I had to watch. Had to watch the plane ride from hell. Had to because I've heard that story joked about, and I didn't realize how it's not funny how traumatic that story was to somebody else who was experiencing it. versus a cartoon version of Storytime on the network.
Oh, it was night and day, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness. I was like, it was the same story, but it just had a different tone on both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And then and I had to watch the Bash at the Beach episode because I was like, I remember seeing that, like, man, something's not adding up. Mm-hmm. And the whole time it was supposed to be a work, and then it was a work shoot, and then it gets complicated. But like I said, we had our happy moments about what we enjoyed this week, because I watched WWE Legends, and I watched the Diamond Dallas Page episode.
Yes.
And I got to catch it live, and I was like, oh, WCW's hot right now. And we're not talking about Woman Crush Wednesday that used to be on Instagram. Like Diamond Dallas Page's story. First of all, I knew Diamond Dallas Page was going to be back in the fold once Cody got back in the mix. And don't roll your eyes, Brian H. I got you. Because now, Brian H. This is don't do that. Because don't even... That would be right. Riaz and Cody.
Don't even know the song. They don't even know the words.
Nah, it's cool. Hey. It'll come. Hey, it'll come. Hey, hey,
hold on. Speaking of people singing.
Uh-oh.
They were singing Adam Copeland's music in Toronto tonight. Don't even when the main event came on.
Were they singing it?
Yeah. When they're like,
did he win?
Yeah, he won.
Oh no! I didn't want to. I was like, I tried to go on, but go ahead. I'm sorry because yeah, I tried to go see they won.
They were singing it, and then Christian interrupted.
Yes, I said yes.
Did he have his turtleneck on? He's the most
important champion on the show, man. But we got new intercontinental, national, whatever.
He called it inner. Shout out to my guy. That's cool, Cutter.
Yeah, I think
he only had that one belt, and he kept the ROH belt in New Japan.
Because
what was the purpose of saying I'm gonna establish it as part of this? But,
because I think he became like Triple Crown because he got that belt. You know what I mean? Like he had the two, and like okay, now that three, I'm considered like they treated like the triple being a Triple Crown champion as like a actual title. So,
but the Continental Champion,
it's fine. I think it looks really, really good. Like, it's like a good generic championship. Like, I feel like if you went to like highspots.com or somebody said, let me get a Continental Championship, it's that championship, and I'm okay with it. But once again, Akachi Okada is on the same level as for me. Sorry, Brian, it's the Young Bucks and like Daniel Bryan. Like, he does no wrong, it doesn't matter what he does in AEW, it's just gonna work. So shout out to him as well.
That's what they told me. I learned relevancy.
Yeah. Oof,
oh, man. And I meant to say this about Booker T. Did y'all realize that man actually sold moves very well? He, like, you know how we say Dolph Ziggler one of the best sellers? I did not realize that Booker T was selling these moves as good as he was. I forgot to add that. That was in my notes. I had to go back and look. I said it was something else that made me really pay attention to him.
Three of my favorite sellers of all time. You said who?
The supermarket scene.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's he made right that scene very, very realistic. He was crying. He was crying in that whole segment. He's like, oh no.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Oh no, make it stop. And I'm telling you, if y'all just go back and watch just that WCW title match on Monday Night Raw, I think that Kurt Angle and Booker T only wrestled for about 3 minutes because the other one was everybody else interfering. Like the whole Stone Cold took the last 2 minutes. It was just chaos. I'm telling you now, Hugh, thank you. I'm never going to watch Monday Night Raw ever again from that era because of you.
You're very welcome.
Booker T versus Buff Bagwell, though.
Oh, hello. Oh, no.
I rewatched that this week.
He just get, didn't.
Does Bradley that hold up or was it?
You know what it was, to be honest with you?
Please be honest with us.
We've seen worse.
Okay.
Is Buff came in there?
You came up with. We've seen worse.
We've seen worse. It wasn't that bad. It's just that Buff came compared in with to, heat. Uh-huh. Like if you watch his Dark Side of Ring, he said he.
You're laughing. I don't know if you notice or not. Like you're laughing as you say this.
He said, you know, to take control of a situation. My father taught me the Bagwell slap. No, and that's what you think. You slap somebody, you get a hold of it, so you let them know you establish dominance. So he slapped Hurricane Helms, and that led to him getting heat. And that's when Hurricane, because he stood up for himself, he said later on, they put him in, if he's told this story on pause before, like they took his stuff out of the WCW locker room, put it in WWF locker room. Because it was a real war back then. like
two separate locker rooms.
Yeah, today, like WWE boy, AEW, they all go hang out together. We know that. But sure, back then, nah, not when they first came over. And
it was the WCW guys.
Yeah, WCW guys. So he, you know, and he, so he already had heat. So it was like, yeah, nah, this match is terrible.
Yeah, that was that awkward point where they were like, well, listen, Buff Bag was around. He's probably one of the only establishments that's still here. Just try to put him in the main event. And then it was like, no, he clearly wasn't ready for this.
Yeah, right, that's the problem. But he's like, I was going to be one of the biggest stars of all time.
No.
This dude had calf implants.
I did not know. I remember he was always a big jacked guy. Like, he was always like on top. Mm-hmm. But come on, man. Don't put boobies in your legs. Like, that's, you're going too far.
But that's what made me watch that match. I was like, now I gotta go back and watch this match to see if it's really that bad. Because, you know, you've heard like Pritchard talk about it on the pods every time he talks.
Oh yeah, he buries Buff Bagwell really bad. Like, yeah, it's like his running joke.
Yep. We had to send. Vince came down there. It's like, nah, cut it off. Send Austin down there.
It's just always your fail safe.
But I think because nobody really knew who Buff was, they knew who Booker was. But it was like, who's this guy he's wrestling? And just
especially
to think,
during that time.
They would have changed Monday Night Raw to Nitro.
Yep.
Yeah.
They would have changed this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know who he was.
I was never a fan of DDP's WWF run, even when he was kind of stalking Taker's ex-wife Sarah. Right. It's because he was he was a shell of what we had known to be DDP. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a hop skipping away from being a TNA, which he eventually went to for a hop.
He was there too.
Yeah, he showed up for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Well, he's a Hall of Famer just on saving lives.
Oh, of course, man. Like, yeah. He's a
that is
he in the Hall of Fame right now? He's got it. He's,
no,
he's
not yet. He'll be
it's
there.
Kind of
for
real? There's no he's not in there, but he's not. He's going to headline somewhere down the line. But yeah, and we have a lot to talk about as far as the Hall of Fame. We'll get into that kind of stuff closer to WrestleMania. But like I said, I just felt like WCW's been kicking right now. So between Championship Culture, DDP, and in this recent conversation that we're about to have, I think it's time for us to ring the goddamn bell. Brian H.
Oh, let's do it.
Brothers. I've been waiting to have this conversation with you guys because, you know, you guys are the ones I'm going to have this conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
This week, for good for business, bad for business. This is a very special one. It's because some information got out, as I've said previously, or like five or six times since we've been on the show. And it has sparked the idea of the biggest WrestleMania misses and what ifs of all time. Which brings us to this week's Good for Business, Bad for Business. If you want to sponsor the segment, please email us at wrestlerum@gmail.com with the subject line advertising. You too can sponsor this segment. I'm just going to put it up here. Good for Business, Bad for Business. Sting versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31 in particular.
Yep.
Now, why are we talking about this? I don't know what happened, but this was like a shockwave going throughout the world of professional wrestling and its fans, especially during WrestleMania. So you think about it. WrestleMania season for us, good brothers, everybody's so hypersensitive and hyper locked in to anything professional wrestling related, including our legends and, you know, anything. We often go back in time. We visit old moments. We have these nostalgic moments and places that we often go to enjoy ourselves. Not to mention, you know, they're bringing back Access rebranded as WWE World, where you're going to see displays and exhibitions and all these things with our favorites and information and stuff like that. But there's one match that we could have got that we didn't get. And as wrestling fans, can we agree that we feel robbed that we didn't get this chance and this opportunity?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The brothers, they've agreed with me. Sting versus The Undertaker. And this is going to lead us into the main event of our show, is because we're going to talk about other moments that we feel like were big WrestleMania misses and what ifs. But we're going to start right here. WrestleMania 31. Around this time, Sting came in, and this is part of Brother Brandon's. This is part of your fault. We're going to start with you because this is part of your fault. It's because, you know, Brother Brandon was a TNA guy, right? And there was a point in time around this era where we were like, the year before, Sting could have probably came over, or but I think, I don't know if he extended his contract or he signed a two or three, another 3 year deal or something. There was a time previous to this we were like, Sting, you better come over now before you get too old. This is a chance we could try to figure something out. He didn't. He signed. Yeah. He signed an extended deal with TNA. He stayed there for a little while longer. And then eventually, you know, he came over. And when he came over, I think everybody was expecting to get The Undertaker versus Triple H. The Undertaker versus versus Sting, excuse me. And we didn't get that. Instead, we got Sting versus The Authority, and so Rollins, and eventually Triple H. But I'm here to ask you, good brothers, was this good for business or was this bad for business that we did not get Sting versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31? Brother Brandon, we're starting with you. It's because once everybody goes through and says their two cents, we're going to have a conversation about this. And then once we have a conversation about it, we're going to talk about the other greatest moments that, that were missed out at WrestleMania. But we're going to start with you, sir. Good for business, bad for business. Talk to the people.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think it was bad for business that we didn't get it, because you had the two icons that could have wrestled, and if Undertaker would have still hit his streak intact by that time, Sting could have been the one to actually end the streak, and that would have made both of them in their career on that moment, and then we would have just had special attractions, because think about WWE roster, all these guys have been built up to face The Undertaker, right? Couldn't do it. Sting could have been, and I don't want to sound like I'm taking it from the Rock, like the final boss, because this is what we needed. And then he came in, and that would have said, yep, this is who has beaten the streak. And then Sting could never really, he could have just rolled off in the sunset. So I think it's bad for business that we didn't get it, but I'm going to stick by it. I think Sting should have been the one to end the streak.
Leave it to Brandon. He can't help but to book something. This is what happens when you're a former booker of an organization. Brother Hugh, good for business, bad for business. We did not get Sting versus The Undertaker. Was it good for business or was it bad for business? And this is my tidbit. Was it good for business because maybe these guys weren't going to be able to hold up in the ring and give us what the match expected? Or was it bad for business because WWE missed out on potentially one of the biggest main events in the history of all of professional wrestling?
I think at that point in time, you got to pull the trigger. Wrestling fans have been waiting on this forever. So I'm saying it's bad for business. We missed out on a great opportunity, a great moment. Those guys are two professionals. Yeah, I know they're older, but they would have put together a decent match. It wasn't Undertaker and Goldberg in the ring. It was Undertaker and Sting. Two guys that know what they're doing in the ring, 100%. And they would have told that story to a T, and he would have made it happen for all of the fans. That's all the fans were looking for. And I'm going to be real with you, Brandon. This man, he wouldn't have never booked Sting beating Taker. You know that.
Oh, I agree with you. What I just said. I agree with you.
That would have been a swerve for wrestling fans, you know, to have Sting come in, a former WCW legend, come in and beat The Undertaker for the streak. That would have been great. It would have been different. But it's definitely bad for business.
Brian H., I'm sure you've gone to the lengths to talk about this today in some way, shape, or form. Sting versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31. We didn't get it. Because was it good for business that we didn't get it? Or was it bad for business that we didn't get it?
Great for business that we didn't get it.
Wow.
Here's why. There's a lot of things. First of all, the streak was over. The mystique of The Undertaker, because let's be real, the only reason why we cared about this match was really because it was like, okay, this is the last outlaw in WWE. The Undertaker was the last outlaw from that era, you know?
Correct.
Triple H was still wrestling, which reason why that was the match also.
Once a year.
Yeah. But he was the last outlaw. That mystique was gone. We didn't even know what type of Undertaker we would get, considering the streak was over. He was concussed. So that's one thing. Another thing is, I mean, to me, the dream match was always Sting and Shawn Michaels. It only became.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You said the dream match was always Sting and Shawn Michaels.
For me,
at WrestleMania 31.
No, in general, like Ultimate WWF guy versus Ultimate WCW guy, it's Sting and Shawn Michaels.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
I don't see that.
I want to hear why you say that though. This is intriguing. This is why I like this show, because you guys give me fresh outlooks on things that I would have never thought about that, and I would never think anybody would compare those two, right? And I say this because think about it. We got Sting versus Bret Hart, which kind of looked like they kind of matched up better on paper, which we saw, which didn't really it didn't really do crazy numbers for WCW, especially where they both were. But I'm sorry, continue. This is getting good.
That was a mid-card match. The one we all think about is Halloween Havoc, but it's a mid-card match. Sting was high on his way prior to rehab, you know, because
that was goatee Sting.
Yeah, but like reason why I say Sting and Shawn Michaels, because I believe the storytelling of, you know, like I said, the ultimate WWF guy, you know, the guy who everybody, you know, and most of them greatest hits DVDs, number one is Shawn Michaels, right? And in WCW, the number one guy is usually Sting, maybe sprinkling a little Ric Flair, but thinking, you know, we had Ric Flair come to WWF. We had Bret Hart go to WCW. We never had Sting come over. We never had Shawn go over. You know, shoot, Undertaker, shout out to Cal for doing his research earlier. Undertaker and Sting fought when he was Mean Mark back in Greensboro in 90, 91. But, I mean, in 90, that's obviously not the same Undertaker as Mean Mark Callis, right? But,
right.
The biggest thing for me, the reason why this is bad for business, I mean, good for business that didn't happen, because of the location of WrestleMania 31.
Which was
the same reason the match with him and Bray was mid. Because the thing that made the theatrics, we're talking WrestleMania, we're talking guys who, when they come to there, we get excited when their promo packages hit into them coming down the ring. It was outside. It was during the daytime.
I did, yeah. Ah, Brandon, you've done it again.
So you mean to tell me you're not gonna get the scorpions, the sound effects, and the stuff that we got in Survivor Series when he showed up, right? We're not getting none of that. We're just getting him come out there like it worked with Triple H, and then Triple H had the Terminator entrance. You know what I mean? But with the Undertaker, you want all of that. You want all those theatrics. You want the druids coming there. You want the lights to go out, and then maybe the lights go out, it's Undertaker in the ring. Lights go back out, it's Sting in the ring, or vice versa. So, not to be a old McMahon apologist, but when I listened to the Undertaker, and I listened to him say this, and I'm like, man, he's right. You know, 2008, I mean, shoot, if I got to take, I said this earlier, but it wouldn't have worked if you, anytime you want to take a match off Undertaker streak, WrestleMania 19, you know, sure, you give Sting the bag. This is before, no, TNA is like in his infancy, but he hasn't gone there yet. You say, you have a long heart-to-heart conversation with Sting, and you say, look, we are going to ensure your legacy. So tomorrow, when Goldberg debuts, we want you to come too. We promise we will not, whatever. And then you set that match up for WrestleMania 20 in the Garden. And then you get all the theatrics. That's your, you know, that's the main event right there. I know we can't talk about the main event too much no more, but it's that like right there, man. But like it was like at that point it was too late. And it would have been great, the face-offs. That's what I would have loved to see. You know,
that's what we're paying to see if you want to keep it 1,000.
But don't give it to me in Santa Clara Stadium, you know. Give it to me the next year in Dallas,
okay?
You know, or the year before.
Kill him.
Yeah,
that's why I was trying to kill Sting.
But Darby brought him back. Like we couldn't.
I know, but by the time the situation had already gotten out of control.
But look, all right. The next year he went in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
Just throw down. Just to see you test the waters there. You know, but as far as WrestleMania 31, no, it's great for business. It didn't happen. Because, again, Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, in the history of the books, when you look at all of the Undertaker's opponents, first of all, when we did get the match, it was like, okay, Taker, he ain't gone yet, right?
There you go. But that was his comeback match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but And then had a banger with Shane McMahon, which, I mean, if we're being honest, who don't have a banger with Shane McMahon? That's a lot of stuff people don't realize, except last year when he everything happened so fast, he jumped out and he blew his quad.
Like his daddy.
Yeah, yeah. That was about?
Shout out to Snoop Dogg for saving the segment.
Yo, that was a moment because when the music hit, Ben will tell you, he was like, I ain't never seen somebody get so excited for Shane McMahon. But you didn't know, you know, and it was an exciting moment. But him and Taker 32, which I vividly remember, y'all, the realness jumping up and saying, no, don't do it. When Shane went to the top of the cage, he was at Jimmy Seafood and he jumped up.
Oh, yeah. That was the Jimmy Seafood mania.
That was the first one, the inaugural.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just feel like if you did it at 32, you know, or 30, but you just 9 and 31, because Bray and Undertaker should have a long, that should be like one of the promo packages. When you go back and look at it, you're supposed to look at that match and be like, man, you know, this could have, like, you know, yeah, Undertaker got him in the history books. But it was supposed to be so much more, facial reactions, screen stuff, all that. And we didn't get it. We was robbed of it because of the daylight. And remember, they kept the Stephanie and Triple H segment kept trying to buy time for it. Yeah. If you remember.
I do.
With The Rock.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem. Wow. Brothers, I'm having a hard time. Now, Brad has not helped the situation.
He didn't. At first, I thought he was drinking the gump juice for real. But, I was intrigued
to hear what he had to say, but he hit some important. See, now I don't know what to say, and I need you guys to help me because you all have said, you know, what you feel about it. Good for business, bad for business. Brandon says great for business that we didn't get it. I haven't come to a conclusion yet. It's because, as a fan, when I heard what Undertaker said, because that's let's be real, that's where we got this from. The Undertaker went on the record and said, look, the reason it didn't happen, Sting has always said it, but he's a WCW guy. We're not going to take it from a WCW guy. No disrespect. He's like, oh, it was never going to happen. Like, okay, Sting, just Sting. Taker said, no, Vince just didn't want it to happen. And immediately I was in an uproar. But Brian just said some very key points. And I'm like, you know what? You've kind of got a point. And I'm upset that you have a point. Because it's like, well, think about it. The timing of it was all off. Mm-hmm. Right? Undertaker had just cut his hair. He was just growing his hair back, so he wasn't full-blown Undertaker. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was fresh off of, like, trying to rebuild the character a little bit. And it was like, that's strike one. Then you're like, dang it. Yeah, it's just... When you look at the presentation of WrestleMania, he's right. If it's Sting and Undertaker, this is... They gave them their own Monday Night War segment on the show to talk about these are the pillars of these organizations. These are, like, the elder statesmen. And they deserve something more than just a match. Like, that's something that probably should have closed the show.
Yep.
And you look at it like, during that particular, that year, that just wasn't going to be possible. Could you have done it the next year? Probably. But seeing how the WWE is building their stories now, I think Vince wouldn't have done a good job with it. Because if you look at the bloodline, let's just talk about that. And don't get excited, Brian Hitch. We talk about the bloodline.
Say nothing.
because you've just been bloodlining it for all this time. And the fact that we're like, we never thought we would survive a 3-year like storyline. Because we've even said it once again on the show, like, oh, this is winding down. I'm done with it. Only for it to be kind of resurrected. And it's like, wait a second. And then now people like Jey Uso said, like, oh, this could go for it. Maybe Paul Heyman wasn't lying. Now, he's a historical liar. You know, bottom of the third.
It's all about like,
shut up, Paul Heyman. You say what?
You see what Brian Gewirtz tweeted?
What did he tweet?
When the day of the presser, chapter one.
Yes, he did say that. He did say that. And Brian Gewirtz is The Rock's like personal writer. When he left WWE, he took him with him.
Right. They did like, podcasts just, and all that.
They did, yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then now Jey Uso has gone on record and said it himself. Oh yeah, this probably can go on for another 3 years, based off. And he kept saying stuff like, "Yo, there's a lot of us. I don't think you realize there's a lot of us." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "There's a lot of free agents out there. That's part of the Samoan legacy." And you know, Rikishi is like the godfather of the wrestling dynasty. He's responsible for it, so he's always training new bodies. Like every week, oh yeah, my nephew started. I'm like, "Where did he come from?" Where do y'all just keep coming from? These grown Samoans all of a sudden get into the business just now. And
they grow up like they do on the Young and the Restless. They're a kid on Monday, then Thursday, they're 18-year-old driving, had a relationship with somebody else.
It has to be. Because it's like, where do these people just keep all he's getting in the business? You never mentioned him before. Mm-hmm. I can't pronounce his name. Where did he come from? And there's a level of patience. And like you said, like when we're looking at the production of how WWE displays their product. And I'm like, man, I don't think Vince would have did a good job. I don't think he would have did it justice. There's a lot of good things that he did well. Like, I think the last great thing that he did was he gave us Austin Kevin Owens. Like, to me, that was the last great thing. I'm like, you know what? At that WrestleMania, I couldn't have asked anything more. But then the next year, he had, like, fresh off of that, he had Kevin Owens beefing with Ezekiel. Elias's alleged brother. But now I'm sitting there like, man, my feelings are hurt. It's because I was upset when he started the show, but now I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I think, man, I have to agree with you. I think it would have been bad for business.
Think about production and everything you love about television production.
I barely like that WrestleMania 31 for that reason, because I don't like daytime WrestleMania. That's why I hate WrestleMania 9 and how bad it is in Caesar's Palace parking lot. See, that's right. I brought it in. Brian has made it feel like, why are you bringing that up? Like, why you had to see me? Like, that's the look you fast. That's the face that he made. Yeah, I did. If you think, wow, I wasn't going to take a chance to take a dig at WrestleMania. Now, he was on Twitter talking about something. This is something WrestleMania 9. And I was about to go like, there you go again. But I was doing something. I was busy. I was like, I don't have time to start an argument, but I noticed it, so this is my chance to take a jab at I hate outdoor early day WrestleMania. I just can't do it. And that was one of those WrestleManias. I don't remember anything from that WrestleMania but the Sting match and Triple H match. And Randy Orton and the RKO. And, of course, the cash in. You know what I mean?
But it's just like, yeah. Wait, you don't remember that ladder match? Daniel Bryan opening it up, winning the IC title?
It was, but that was a nervous match for me.
Rusev and Lana getting it in before he lost the title in the tank.
That was a tank entrance, right?
I think they lost their marriage though, so I don't know if that's a thing. But
yeah,
yep,
that's all right. They didn't need to go there, man. But
it's giving Macho Man Elizabeth with this latest story.
Yeah, I think anytime you have two disgruntled people in a disgruntled situation, it just everything just goes bad. That's why everybody wants to go back to their wives. Like, that's why, like, Andrade's like, nope, I'm gonna be with my wife. Because think about it, remember they were together, they were married, and they like got divorced for a day and then they got back together.
Who?
Andrade and Charlotte. Remember at one point they were like, oh, they're broken up. And I'm like, married.
Yeah, I thought that was just hearsay, say.
It might have been, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised either though. Yeah. And then another funny tidbit was when they showed Rhea Ripley showing her photos, and she was with Buddy Matthews there, and Pat McAfee was like, who's that? I thought that was like a TV thing. Anyway, I'm rambling. Sorry. Oh, man. Fellas, I'm going to say it. This is a very long way of me saying it. Yes. It was great for business that they didn't do it. Because my next question was, would you guys be willing to give up the moment that we did get? The moment between DX and NWO for Undertaker and Sting instead, taking into account all the things that Brian is kind of said. Like, you just can't be like, oh yeah, because it would have been great. No, like, you have to take in consideration where it was. Outdoors, Taker was just kind of getting back to being Taker. Circumstances, whatever you want to call it. Brandon, would you have given up that moment with DX versus NWO and kind of that WrestleMania moment in order to have or take the risk of doing Undertaker versus Sting at that moment?
So I'm trying to remember, was we DX to death at that point, or was it after the fact? Because it was like every other week we were seeing DX. I'm trying to remember.
No, you got to think about it. They had just gone away. They had just gone away, and like Scott Hall had just got cleaned up, right? So this was NWO heavy, because NWO went into the Hall of Fame.
But we had been DX to death, right?
Because their run was kind of over. Like, remember at one point, it was like 2011, 12-ish. It was like a lot of DX, and then they had just gone away, but we were all happy because, like, sure New Age Outlaws had stopped beefing with Triple H, and you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think I'm happy we got that moment, but I wonder, is that the consolation prize since we didn't get Sting? Is this Vince McMahon saying, no, this is what they want. We're going to go with this instead.
Well, think about it. There's no guarantee that Sting and Triple H, Sting and Undertaker would have been the way we wanted to see it at that time, in that situation, at that moment, in that setting. You know what I mean? Versus what we got. So it's like, well, what do you consider a consolation prize? Because what if we got Sting and Undertaker? We're like, oh, that was weak. That wasn't that great. Or that wasn't what I thought it was supposed to be. You know what I mean?
But I think then, that moment would have been more than what we thought because it's that moment. You know what I mean? Like, think about that once in a lifetime match that happened twice in a lifetime. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
we were all pumped up for this once in a lifetime match. And then we got a second in a lifetime. So I'm just trying to figure out. I think the Vince McMahon, whatever, they know what they want. They don't know what they want. I'm giving them what they want. I understand. I think that might have been the solution, that this is going to be better. And this is really a ending of WCW versus WWF because we got DX versus NWO.
They kind of squashed the beef.
Yeah, the true, you know, this is what it is. This is what you wanted. Because remember, the Hogan and Rock year, it was similar to NWO and WWE, but it was the NWO. It was the WWE version of the NWO.
That moment killed the NWO.
Yes, it stopped everything together because it was a, oh, here it is. Let me try to put some life into it. But now this is actually the WCW version of NWO coming back. So I think that it's good that we got. I'm glad we got that moment. But in the back of my mind, you know,
you always wonder.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's also a very good point. What about you, Brother Hugh? Would you have rather given up the moment we got to take a risk on a moment that we didn't get?
I hate to agree.
The conflicts in everybody's faces. I'm loving it. It's Brian H's fault because it's like, dang, this is like, I think everybody was kind of straightforward. Like, Brandon knew what he wanted to do. He booked it one way. I was just angry about the conversation in the first place. And now everybody's like, oh, shoot. Now, you can't not take these valid points into consideration. Brother Hugh?
Well, only reason I would say that I was okay with what we got is because we finally got NWA versus DX.
Which is a fantasy matchup.
Which is another fantasy matchup.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I would be like, look, all right, I'm cool with it. I'm good with it. I had no choice to be okay with it now because it already happened. That and, of course, you know, he had to put the WWE over once and for all. But Triple H said, you know, pinning him. Yeah, so you already know. But like Brandon said, in the back of my mind, I still wonder.
We all do.
Hey, what's going on? We always wanted Sting and Taker. And the fact that we can't get it now, it eats me alive. I'm not going to lie.
Can I ask you a question, Brother Hugh?
Yes, sir.
Who says we can't get it now?
I don't want to see it now. I'm just going to be real.
You know you can't have that now. Because you know what's going to happen. If them two wrestle now, Ric Flair is going to come say, let me wrestle. I want to wrestle John Cena. I want to wrestle The Rock. No, I got one more.
Go and see Jesus if he steps in the ring. One more time. He have you seen Flair walk? He barely struts.
Jesus keep giving him that.
I heard that Taker ended up saying like he can go one more.
Did you and listen? I'm glad you brought it up because we're gonna ask Brandon. I want to get your two cents on this because you've given us this thought-provoking thing to say, but I want to see how you feel about it. But you're right, Brother Hugh. I was about to mention, I said he did say, look, man, like it's really Sting's fault because I went and got new knees and then Sting went ahead and retired. Because he like it, which to me tells me like, yo, listen, we just got to get it together for one match. Look at that.
there y'all go.
That's the match. that's the match that we're supposed to get. That like Taker's like, look, man, I went and got new knees. Like it's supposed to be like, hey, listen, right. it's just one and
new knees and feel, is crazy.
He really said that though, and I feel bad for Undertaker because. You know, in his I don't know what I was reading, but he pretty much said like it's hard. Like when I go to wrestling shows, I really can't stay for the whole show. It's because I still have it in me.
And on his podcast, like, I listened to it this morning.
So that's what it was. Okay, so yeah. It was a quote from his podcast.
That's what
okay.
They did. They you know transcribed it.
Now is this podcast still a Patreon exclusive or is he?
No, that's doing right on YouTube. There ain't nobody paying.
Okay, because you know at one point he had a paywall at one point.
And I was like, a lot of people did. Remember, Strictly Business was straight paywall. No,
yeah, that's true.
They give it a choice free. They like, look, it's too much money.
It definitely make a lot of money on YouTube, like trying to get people to kind of patronize. It's not worth it, especially just like, trying to take her.
You gotta hear it though, because he was like, you know, and I'm surprised nobody from WWE really caught on. But it's hard for me to stay past the second match. And I'm like, damn,
I had no idea.
You right?
You would have never known. Like, how would you know? When I was hurt, I said, dang, that kind of sucks because I know he loves his business, but like he loves it so much that he's like, I got to get away. Like, I can't stick around because I feel like I should be going to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then he did say, brother, he's like, look, man, I wouldn't gotten your knees. Thing. You don't want to win retired. Would you guys be okay with it? Triple H style? If Triple H says, listen, ask everything. We can add special effects. We can do it through. We can give you so many gizmos and gadgets at this point with our new production. A cinematic match. Sting suggested a cinematic match at one point. Like he was trying to do everything. I remember Sting said, I was trying to do everything we could to figure it out, especially after he saw the match he had with AJ Styles. He was like, before he pitched that match before he signed with AEW. That was the only thing he wanted to do left. He's like, I was going to do this match and retire. He's like, they just were not interested. And now, in all fairness, it was right in front of the global pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But still, would you guys be down for to this version of the WWE, this regime, with everything that we've seen them do, all the things that they're kind of being ambitious about how they show things? Would you guys think that Sting can get it? First of all he's got to do is get in shape, dye his hair black again, and just it's one match. Think about it. Majority of the match is going to be the build-up. 90% of what we're going to watch is going to be literally weeks of us fanboying out and having our moments, and then the bell's going to ring, and we're going to remember the match, but it's like, it's just one match. They just got to get through one match. I know for a fact Taker will train to get himself in the best shape as possible. I know for the fact Sting will train just to have that one moment. You still not buy it, brother Hugh?
I don't think it's the same, even with Triple H at the helm.
Was it going to be the same at WrestleMania 31? Because it's not like they were spring chickens then. Like,
it's gonna be worse now because what's this? How long ago was that?
It's gonna be even worse now. Nine WrestleManias ago, dang near.
Yeah, so it would have been better back then.
This was TNA
for them to go at it.
This was TNA's thing back then. Remember, he would take a break from WCW. He was in TNA, Main Event Mafia, world champion by default because
they wanted him.
Going on. Yeah, remember he was the top in TNA. This is him at his peak, and this is Undertaker on his slowing down mentality. So then they were two different dynamics at different points in their career. That's why I say it was bad for business it didn't happen because, like Rona said, Undertaker would have snapped into shape instantly. He'd have been ready. He'd be like, this is what we got to do. You know what I mean? But now, them two, it would be like a Stone Cold and Kevin Owens type match, but who's going to carry the match? That's Stone Cold gave us that match because he had Kevin Owens with him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're not going to get a Hogan and Rock where the Rock is going to sell Hogan's to can still give us a performance. You can't have two people trying to give a performance. You need somebody that can actually.
Hogan's performance look at Sting. Stayed the same for 50 years.
Look at Sting and his match with Darby. Darby got taken out, and the Young Bucks helped Sting carry that match.
Yeah, you're right. Not to mention Sting. Sting's not moving off tables when he's supposed to, getting 450 splashed on. But
the Young Bucks helped that match be as, you know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to carry this. Like, let's call it what it is. When Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair wrestled, Shawn Michaels had to carry that match.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's got to be somebody.
I got you. And you know what I mean? Like, I got you. We're going to go out here and do this. Fair enough. Can he walk the tightrope? Because I'd be scared if he get on there and start walking.
Please don't.
I'm like, don't do it. You know, like, please don't. We want you to be around.
Yeah. Fair enough. Brown Edge.
Would I trade that moment in?
Would you trade that moment in?
No, not at all. I mean, that's Scott Hall's last WrestleMania moment.
Shout out to Scott Hall for getting in excellent shape and taking that bump, even though he had a pacemaker in his heart. That's one of my favorite moments when he tapped him on his back and he was like, I'm ready. He flipped him over. I said, shout out to you, Scott. He had to have one last moment, man. I was happy.
Yeah.
Toothpick still in his mouth as he flipped over. I said, he's not letting that go. That's dangerous, but okay.
I mean, it's honestly such a perfect day, right? His last moment, Hogan's last WrestleMania under not getting booed. Nash goes in the Hall of Fame that year. You know, technically the alive headliner, where Savage was the headliner. So it's it's like one of my favorite moments. Like, you know, especially the way like the match is happening, then the NWO music hit and DX music hit, whichever way it happened. Just like everything, man. Like, you know, Sting and Taker. But again, that moment, you don't need it. You could do that at daytime.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't like the fact that Sting's hair got all discombobulated. I was like, why somebody just pour some water on his head so his head would be nice and slick back? And then Sting had a chance to redeem himself, and Seth Rollins tried to kill him. But we're not going to get into that. That really ruined his WWE run, because he was gone after that. He was going to wrestle over again. He tried to get sweet. I was like, Seth Rollins, you did it on purpose, bro. So I just, that buckle bomb was not necessary. Like, that match was one of my favorite matches until halfway through the match, and Seth Rollins tried to kill him. Anyway, let's talk about some of the other biggest WrestleMania misses. We're wrapping up. We're getting out of here in a decent time, maybe.
You know that's a lie.
I tried. It's okay. I tried. But many people feel like Undertaker versus Sting in any era was a big miss. We're here to talk about, gentlemen, as we wrap this up, some of the other of our biggest WrestleMania misses or what ifs of all time. Who wants to go first? We got a lot of graphics in here. There's a handful of ones that I'm looking at. I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely see this come. But who wants to talk about one of your favorite or the most biggest WrestleMania misses or what ifs?
Do they have to have been on the roster?
No, it didn't matter. Like, it's just, you know, just.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Go ahead. Go, Brian. Do you have something on your mind, brother? Go ahead and spit it out.
WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
Okay. All right.
Main event, WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight, all the world champion. That would have been the match. That's your Bret and Shawn, your, you know, Randy Orton and Triple H. Even better. But no, that's your Bret and Shawn. That's your Austin Rock. That was the match for that era.
It was definitely supposed to be counterparts at some point.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were robbed of that, because they were like the pioneers of that era of wrestling that they were ushering in. Because what we're enjoying now, like, they're the godfathers. Like, I tell people every day of the week, CM Punk deserves all the credit for shattering that glass ceiling for the indie superstar. And Daniel Bryan took it and just took it to a completely different level. You know what I mean? But that's a really good one. Who has another one?
The WrestleMania. Brian, which one WrestleMania was it that Seth won the Intercontinental title? The white strap.
34.
I know it's kind of weird to try to say this, but I think that Miz versus Jericho for the greatest Intercontinental champion versus beating the streak, because Jericho having that 9 over Miz, I would have had Miz lose and quit it back so they could say who's going to get the better one. I would have did that at that Mania instead of having Seth win it, because I feel like Seth only wanted to check off the box.
Now, you taking away Daniel Bryan's comeback against the Miz?
What, later on that year? Or you mean, because
that was the WrestleMania?
Yeah.
No, that was the triple threat, right? Which one did Seth win? Remember when Seth won?
I thought he was in the triple threat with Finn Balor and Bobby Roode.
Which one was it? Miz walked into Mania with the championship, but Seth walked out. Was that 30? Or am I getting it mixed up?
Nah, that
Dylan might have defection. Which one was that?
Because WrestleMania 30. No, you know what? You're right. That's the WrestleMania. It was. You're right. Forget Daniel Bryan. I'm totally
okay,
wrong. He was in a match with Shane and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
But that's
yeah.
when Seth was spinning the title around. Was that SummerSlam when he got the title?
No, I'm thinking of Daniel Bryan moment at SummerSlam. Okay. Him and The Miz.
Yeah, I think that Jericho with him would have been a good story to tell, because remember we kept having White Strap Miz be on top of the game and talking about how he was the most must-see and all that stuff. And Jericho could have been the one to say, how are you must-see and I'm 9-time champion? You only 8. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get a record breaker. You can't catch me type deal. And plus,
you had to make sure Jericho got in this conversation, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah, that's, hey, listen, I respect your loyalty. It's supposed to be that
was
way.
Was that when Jericho had just went to New Japan?
That's when he had left, because remember, he wanted to do a match with the Intercontinental title and the WWE Intercontinental. I mean, the IWGP Intercontinental and the WWE Intercontinental. He wanted to have a match, and Vince was like, nah, have fun.
He was growing his hair out.
Yeah, he said, nah, have fun. I'll see when you're ready to come back.
I heard that was the conversation, too, though.
Yep. That's why I said it was a missed opportunity. Yep.
Yeah.
He said, go ahead, have fun. And then when he was like, hey, AEW sent me this contract, what should I do? He said, damn, that's a good deal. Then when he signed it, WWE sent him another one. He was like, I already signed the contract. He was like, oh. Because Vince told him to go ahead and sign it.
But then he told him, see if you can get out of it. you didn't sign it already, did you? He's like, you told me to sign it. Can you get out of it? He's like, I'm not getting out of this.
I signed it already. But I just think I think we missed the boat, and The Miz is getting – Jericho's getting worse, and The Miz is getting older. I think we're going to miss that opportunity to even revisit that period.
Yeah, nobody wants to say that. Yeah. Not at this point.
Yeah.
Jericho is a shell of himself.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Jericho has an excellent future as a commentator or manager. I think that can add like another probably 10 or 20 years to his career.
Yeah, he put over homeboy tonight. Hook.
Oh, my God. The gangster.
He actually put somebody over?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Jericho's
no, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's beating a young talent, and then guess what happens to him? Nothing.
Well, that's AEW's fault. That's a Tony problem. Brother here, you put up this graphic, which is interesting to me. What do you guys think about this? It's because I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm conflicted. It's because Hugh, you're taking away one of my favorite WrestleMania moments of all time. WrestleMania 15, The Rock versus Stone Cold, and now you've added Mick Foley to the mix. What is it about this particular WrestleMania?
Mick Foley,
well, Mick, mind you. Mick Foley was hot at this moment.
I was doing some research, and they said that was supposed to be the match. That was supposed to be the match.
Super Bowl fight. Was that the Super Bowl fight? The MD Arena fight? Was that same?
Yeah, game? Yeah. Okay. I believe so. But yeah, that was supposed to be the matchup right there. But I believe Shawn Michaels convinced Stone Cold to talk to Vince and get a one-on-one match with The Rock. So that's how that went.
Which
that's just from the research right call. That I did. Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting one. That's man. You know, like I say this all the time about Mick Foley. You know how hard it is to be popular in the industry in the same company where The Rock and Stone Cold are making money hand over foot, and he was still like one of those guys because he was on every Chef Boyardee commercial. He had wrote everything, a New York Times bestseller, freaking. Like Mick Foley, you would see his ties everywhere randomly at like kiosk at the mall. Have a nice day, everything. Had us wearing old shirts on purpose with our tie. That's the only time I wore a tie. It was just to look like Mick Foley around the house. take them church clothes off unless you go into church. And I'm like, all right, never mind.
Hey, Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
He got Chad Frosted.
He definitely got Chad Frosted. That was just wow.
Look,
Miss Young Rock.
No way in the world.
I
I'm so glad they didn't do this one. Shawn Michaels, shout out to him. This the classic that we got with Austin and Rock. You know,
yeah, that's like that's my favorite Austin Rock match out of all of them. Like, don't get me really wrong. 17 is ridiculous. Yeah. 17 is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
But it's something about this one. Like, this to me was like peak, like Austin, and then like Rock's like, hey, I'm here too. And I'm like, you know how hard that had to be during this time period? Because you not only did you have to compete with the roster and Stone Cold, you have to compete with WCW and their hotness too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I mean? And not to mention ECW knocking on your door, because they had some crazy main events too that hold up today.
They sure did.
You know what I mean? So it was like, man, it's just unbelievable. But
I like all of them. I think I don't have a favorite. I refuse to pick. But I get what you're saying. I feel like 17 was the one where they was both on the same level, though. Like, as
because you know, The Rocket just got there. 15. Right? Yeah, 17
was the
cheer
shots, right?
Yeah,
that was my favorite one.
17 was like, who's gonna be the top dog? Like, who's gonna walk out of this joint as like him?
The guy.
19 was just epic storytelling.
19 was like, okay, we got to finish this off, and WrestleMania 40 is going to be like the conclusion when he comes out and he helps out the Cody All Stars take down the Bloodline.
Yeah, you call them All Stars, the Cody Crybabies.
No,
they got to do 3X
because they're hardcore. Oh, you said three. I thought you said three acts, not three acts. That's my bad.
Oh my gosh.
thought you were having a moment.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. I got a headache.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm done.
That was funny. Ba-doom. That was me hitting the drums. But there's one we talked about. It's time to go. We're gonna wrap up. This is the last one we'll talk. We have a few. Because brother, he did an excellent job with these graphics. I placed some of these up here. He's got Randy at 36. We have this potential match.
Can we talk about that one real quick?
Sure, by all means.
So I love Roman's gimmick when after Goldberg he beat somebody Roman Reigns
at WrestleMania 36, by the way, for those that listen, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I loved his gimmick when he would beat somebody and the next challenger would come out. But I hated Goldberg's gimmick that he would just come down, I'm next, and then lose. I'm glad that this did not happen. I was so happy because Goldberg lost his what was special about him. Goldberg was the king of a squash match, and that's what his gimmick was.
Well, he was.
If you had him ring the bell and the bell didn't ring again in 30 seconds, you lost me. Yes. So well, that was so
that's
happy.
How Goldberg made his money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and Roman Reigns was not going to be that squash match, and Roman Reigns was not going to be this. I didn't want to see this. I was so happy it didn't happen because I said, I hope Roman squashes Goldberg in 30 seconds and just leaves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was hoping he Goldberged him. And I was so happy that this match didn't happen because this is the one I did not want to see because I was so tired of Goldberg. Oh, yeah, you're next. And then you lose. Like, come on now. So, I'm happy that. I'm so happy that did. Braun Strowman, good job, transitional champion and all. But thank goodness that we didn't. Oh, Roman, stay healthy, man. That's all I'm going to say. Just, I'm glad he went and got, made sure he was good.
And got new teeth.
Yeah, he did.
I got new teeth, y'all.
I
never start coming.
I Superman punched cancer, and guess what? I got me some new teeth while I'm at it too.
Tribal chief.
Yes. How about this WrestleMania right here? WrestleMania 25. Hogan versus Young. First of all, Hogan's going to be 80 something years old, still thinking he's got one more in him. That's just what he does.
Hogan is 112.
Brownish, people can't see you, but I see your teeth. I see smiling. Is this something that we would have been here for? Now we talked about old Sting and old Taker having a moment. I mean, this is a legacy battle right here. You know, Hulkamania and John Cena. John Cena was usually seen as a modern day Hulk Hogan type. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm gonna say this is actually one of my dream matches.
That's what I'm saying. This is a 2K special
at WrestleMania
at 25. No, you're not feeling it.
No.
Me neither. No offense. Hogan can barely walk.
Hogan would have been fine because he was still doing stuff in TNA. But
yes, that is true. I don't know, the stuff he was doing in TNA wasn't all that great.
It was horrible.
No,
it was okay. He literally had to do seven segments the whole show. He killed the show. It was like every segment don't have the whole Hogan. Like
it was
the
WCW answer to Randy was not
just put Hogan on here. No, let me cut this promo, brother. Let me have this backstage segment. Let me go out here and announce the next match. Let me. I was like, oh my god, stop it. Let me tell you something, okay? Yeah. Then here's my daughter too. Look at my daughter. Oh yeah, my daughter's here. Oh yeah, look at this. Hey, take that mask off, Manic. You're now known as Manic TJ Perkins.
I had no problem looking at Brooke Hogan.
I'm good. I'm chilling.
That's debatable.
Hurt you date black guys. Hurt you date black guys. What do you say, Brad H?
Shout out to Brooke.
Yep.
That's debatable. You should stop
it. But let's move on.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
Here's there's two more. Like I said, we're gonna show you because we're just about done. We'll finish here. What about this one right here? Do you think this is a WrestleMania miss? The Rock versus CM Punk versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania in New York, New Jersey.
Nobody refunded tickets.
WrestleMania 29.
In the words of John Cena, nobody refunded tickets. No, I don't think it's a miss. You know, I know Punk wanted that main event spot, but I mean,
he just can't catch a break, can he?
No, he can't. You know, sometimes you're just born in the wrong time frame.
I think he just got to get right with God because it's like no matter how close he gets, it's like,
I believe in him. Maybe he need to go say, look, okay, I believe. But yeah, you know, Rock and Cena too. It was, you know,
it was too much. You're not gonna compete with that. Come on now, Rock and
we
Cena.
We needed that. It's like the pass the torch. Cena had to get that win back.
Yeah, that was a two match sequel. You know what I mean? To like you said, a story that was
once in a lifetime. They told us it was once in a lifetime. They told us this.
Once
in a lifetime. Once. The match only happened once.
Now, how about this one? There's a few. We're almost there. I'm going to say this. I saw a really good one.
Love but, the passion.
Ooh, that match would have tore the house, man.
Now, wait a minute now. Now, WrestleMania 22. This is the one that Shawn Michaels had with who?
Was it?
Vince McMahon.
Eddie
was hired by the.
Was it Vince?
Yeah, I just watched
it.
This is the whole God thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Handicap match. Yeah. It was Shawn Michaels and God versus Vince McMahon.
That pre-match prayer.
Insane. First of all,
everything that ended up
that no, that was foolishness. Like, that's what that was.
It was. That's exactly what it is, brother. He foolishness. Like Vince.
Oh wait a minute! This is Viscera versus Snitsky. I just looked up the card.
Oh no!
This is the Battle Royal with Viscera, Snitsky, and all them. Oh my God!
This is the Battle Royal. God played long game.
Cena and Triple H. Wait, that's what Cena and Triple H for the title.
The God played the long game. For God shall not be much.
Exactly
so right.
That which shall also reapeth. Got him.
Man,
How about this match right here? The match that we were supposed to get that we didn't get. I don't consider this more like a WrestleMania miss, but this is a big more side of the what if. Would you guys did you guys want this? It was going to happen. Like whatever storyline they're doing now with the Bloodline, this was going to be a drawn out storyline between Triple H and Rock, because Triple H pretty much spilled the beans. Like, no, this is something we were working on for a while, and it was going to lead to that, but obviously it's not something that can happen now for, obvious reasons.
That's how
reason. Bro, you could, what if Rock didn't go to Hollywood or a whole thing? You could make a whole what if, and he would have been the number one greatest of all time, considering the trajectory he was on.
Yeah, of course.
In just 6 years.
Yeah, the longevity of it. Like Austin's career ended fairly early,
But he started late. Like, by the time he got to WWE, he was like in mid-30s. Rock was 26.
There you go.
You know, so he would have been what we see in John Cena would have been the Rock, but this should have been matched. This should have been the main event for 32, and it also should have been the main event for WrestleMania 2000. We did a Give Me the Book segment on that on youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Give Me the Book playlist.
Those were fun. Go back and watch those old Give Me the Book playlists. We had some, we had some timeless insight on some of these conversations. So,
I agree with this. Look at your boy. He always stirring the pot, man.
We know that. What are you going to do?
Nope.
He will.
I cannot wait till we get to our WrestleMania show. I'm going to drop a massive bomb, and I've been holding on to it, and I've been keeping it a secret, but he brought it up, and I'm going to say it now because it's late. But I'm going to drop a massive bomb about this year's WrestleMania that I want to see if anybody else is thinking about this, and I'm going to go on the record and say it. So if anybody else around the country even mimics it, I know they're watching the show. We have 124 eyes right now looking at us right now. And I'm just putting it out there. I'm going to put it out there. Like, everybody's thinking, like, what is he going to say? I'm going to say something insane. There's two more before we get out of here. This is a big one. This is Brian Neese's favorite one because he hated Shawn Michaels and he still kind of does a little bit.
Have you seen what Shawn Michaels been giving us in NXT? You think I hate that man?
That's when he lost his smile, right?
See, there it is. See, that's what I was waiting for. See, Brian just Truefields came out. See how
this before he was born again.
Did you see how fast he just gave him a compliment and just said that punk? That's right, that punk. That's exactly what I was talking about.
Right.
He said, "You think I hate Shawn Michaels? Man, that punk lost his smile." All in the same sentence. I was older when I found out. Like, yo, we were supposed to get this. I'm like, oh yeah, Brian's like, no, the plan was to do the rematch, and I was supposed to go over at WrestleMania 13. But instead, we got the iconic Austin.
Ain't that crazy how that works?
Austin Brett, yeah.
I keep telling people, God knows what he's doing. That was such an amazing, like, I would never trade that moment for this restaurant. And these are my guys, 1A, 1B, in no order.
I was going to say, Shawn is your guy.
I'm good with WrestleMania 12. I don't need 13.
We would have got Austin somehow because we still not, got
but that moment, Brian H.
But we would have got bro. We got the promo. We would have been fine.
If the this promo was 2 years old at that point, though, wasn't it? It was a no, year.
It wasn't a year yet.
Well, guess what? According to the Book of Wrestling, some of these facts have been stirred apart about how all this thing really took off. But we don't really know when we would have got that moment.
Hey, I almost know that whole promo by heart because I had
to. Is that the Book of Wrestling featuring Brian H. Walters?
Brian H. Walters.
Just a producer. It's featuring the great David Shoemaker.
Okay.
And produced by
Brian H. Walters.
Brian H. Walters.
Yeah, he has something to do with it, right? Yeah, okay.
In the later episodes, that's all correct.
not to be confused with Hollywood Brian H.
But y'all get me. I missed that project. It took up a lot of my time, but man, 2 years
Brian
ago,
H. Walters.
We was getting ready for the launch, and then we had to put a pause on it.
Uh-oh. Anyways, we're not going to go there. We know you're here. We don't need to.
Austin would have, like, we still got the Austin 316 promo that June.
But what about Austin tapping out to the sharpshooter with blood pouring down his head, passing out to his own blood and not quitting? What about that moment, Brian H?
Well, he could have fought the Undertaker and passed out to the
Hell's Gate.
Yeah, the Hell's Gate. Even though he wasn't doing it at that time anyway.
So he wasn't doing it at that time. First of all, I don't trust Shawn Michaels pre-Jesus. So, like, who knows what he's doing? I think he would have sabotaged. I really do. I think he would have sabotaged Bret Hart somehow, which he kind of already did. He's like, I got to get my knees.
Yeah.
He got
to get. But then he's doing.
He had to get. He had meniscus or something, and then he's doing backflips in the ring.
And so you admit it? Because we had a whole conversation about this in season one about So now you're admitting that Shawn was wrong.
I admit now,
yes, sir.
Almost 12 years later, that Shawn Michaels was wrong in that moment. He was, but I'm also confident that nobody's gonna go back and watch that old grainy footage from 2000.
I don't know.
Verify.
I look at the analytics in the studio. Some of that stuff's still cooking.
But guess what, though? You know, I also know that it's cooking. You know what else is cooked? That hard drive with that footage on it that you don't have anymore. So. You still had the footage, I know you will go back and peel it off, but I think it's safely.
Hey, no, I get the download button from YouTube.
Oh shoot, got that in there. Anyways, let me not bring it up.
You ain't had to go at the hard drive. That hurt.
My fault, buddy. I shouldn't have said that. That was, you know how it is. I've had two hard drives that have gone up on me, and I've almost cried. Like, God, no, please. And I've been able to recover some things. But here's the last one that I want to talk about. And this is the biggest one, because I think we've had this conversation before. But we talk about WrestleMania 8. And to me, I think this is probably the biggest what-if of all time. Mm-hmm. And we'll end on this, because we need to wrap up. Getting out of here sort of at a similar time. But
the moment we realized Vince was a genius, maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. WrestleMania 8. We all thought that this was the moment. You know, Ric Flair had his time in WWF, and you know, he finally made his way there. And it very similar to Sting fashion. Like, look, I'm a WCW guy, and you know, the circumstances kind of, you know, pushed me into this direction. We all know the history of Ric Flair and why he showed up in WWF, and you know, this is right before Vince's youth movement. This was the last of the 80s icons that we were getting before 90s wrestling was really about to kind of define itself and take on an identity of its own, right?
Yeah.
And we thought this was going to be like the end of it. This is supposed to be like, you know, we had Triple H versus Undertaker, and that was an end of an era match of this, you know, group. And, you know, this was supposed to be the end of an era match for that generation of wrestling, you know, two of the biggest stars in pro wrestling history up to that point, you know, not just of the 80s, but just up to that point. Like, these guys were being talked about. These are the greatest wrestlers to ever do it. And they had an opportunity to face off at a WrestleMania 8, but we didn't get it. You know, they said they worked a couple of house shows and the fans locally didn't really respond to it well. I'm like, what if they were in like Davenport, Iowa, somewhere that just doesn't get live for wrestling events? But according to you know, the powers that be, they said, you know, the match didn't go. It didn't look like it was going to be appealing, but you're supposed to make it appealing because that's why you're the biggest show on earth at a WrestleMania. Yeah. Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan. Gentlemen, is this probably the biggest WrestleMania miss of all time, or maybe the biggest what if, not getting Ric Flair versus Hogan at WrestleMania 8?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. because all the matches that you listed, and shout out to brother Hugh,
he was
sizzling and cooking. This one we got in WCW.
Yeah, that's what I was ready to touch on.
In Bash at the Beach. And man, when I tell you it was a moment, and for 8-year old me, maybe I was sick, to see that match, I was in awe. And I would have been about 5 when this match happened. And to know Hogan would have beat Ric Flair in the main event. Come on now. Like you sometimes, like you said, you just gotta pull the trigger. You know what I mean? It's WrestleMania. Yes. It would have been in a Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis. We had Piper and Bret that night. I don't know what you do with Macho Man. You probably do Macho Man and Jake the Snake in a grudge match somehow.
Hey, don't forget Shawn Michaels and Tito Santana.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe you do Macho Man and Macho Man and Shawn Michaels. Maybe that's when Savage starts movement.
There you go. This is okay.
You know, but this would have been up at that point. This would have been, this would have been the second biggest main event of WrestleMania all time to Hogan and Andre.
They could have dolled this up. I don't care what the house looks like. Like, come on now. This is like I agree with you, Brian H. And to what Brother Hugh's point when he said, man, there's some things you just have these pull the trigger moments. This is a pull the trigger moment. I don't care how bad it was, because it's like no one's talking about WrestleMania 8 anyway. Don't get me wrong, Ric Flair and Macho Man Randy Savage put on a classic. You know what I mean? But like, kids are not looking at this, and like, this is not one of the ones we remember WrestleMania 8 because it was a good show. But like, this would have been like, this would have been it.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Gorilla and Bobby.
Yes, sir. Come on, man. Like, this is once again pull the trigger moment. It's perfect storm. Missed opportunity. Brother Brad, do you have anything to say about this WrestleMania 8? Like, do you feel the same way as everybody else in regard to this?
I'm conflicted on this because, you know, I'm really conflicted because, remember, we knew, are we looking at it from the adult eyes or are we looking at it from the kids' eyes?
Well, think about it. Who was WrestleMania for?
Now think about it. Back in those days, Ric Flair was for the wrestling fan. Hulk Hogan was for the entertainment portion. If you really think about it, because we as kids
both were in the ring together.
Yeah, but here's the kicker. Remember when Flair was coming, he had a hard time meshing WWE, and so he had to go back and find himself.
That is true.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm saying I'm kind of conflicted. But I don't remember. I think that WWE would have did it justice if we would have had more Flair exposure in the WWE. Because Flair was selling out arenas, yes, but Hogan was on TV. You get what I'm saying? True. Like, Flair was only in select markets, and remember, Flair was the greatest to do it at that time, and it was like Hogan was the greatest in that moment. You know what I mean? So it's like, do we pull that trigger? Because as much as the adult me wanted to see that then, the kid me was taking my vitamins, but my grandmother was, oh, that's the Nature Boy. You get what I'm saying? To understand the dynamic. So who was it for? That's what I'm conflicted with. Like,
I feel like the kid me at the time, I knew, like, I didn't care for Hogan or really Ric Flair at the time because I wasn't into heels like that.
That was all my brother.
I understood that they were the two biggest names in the industry at that time.
Yes.
So it's like you had to pull the trigger no matter what's going on. Like, Hogan was the guy.
But see, I just keep thinking about, like, I had, like, remember, Sting was my person.
Yeah.
My grandmother, like, she just liked wrestling, but I just remember her having this like this fixation with Ric Flair. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like how women are with Roman Reigns. You know how women are with Roman Reigns now? They're like, oh, it's Roman Reigns, but then they're going to the show, but the kids are chanting for, like, I'll be chanting for Sting while she's chanting for Flair. Or if I was a Hogan fan, I'll be chanting for Hogan while she's still, you know, and other wrestling fans are woo because of what he represented. So I was like, I know that match would have delivered 100 times
it
over, and
would.
That match would have been a, oh my God, Flair is the, like, really is the man. But I'm just like, I don't know if it's a WrestleMania miss or is it just a WWE miss? Because it's much story.
It's also a really good point too. That is it just is it not only a not just a WrestleMania miss, but a WWE miss? That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
It's definitely a WWE miss, yeah.
Because that was what Bryan said. That moment, don't get me wrong, like even though it happened, that was a huge moment for WCW.
It was.
Check.
Because of what WWE missed. WCW said, watch us do it. Oh, look what we can do. And they did it, but I'm torn.
Yeah. No, and I get it because to Brandon's point of what you said, Brother Brandon, Hogan went on record and said, like, when he first got signed at WCW and Flair had agreed to, like, look, I'll put him over because this is what Hogan did, what that match did for WCW was it put them on the map commercially. Like, people took them seriously as a wrestling company. Like, forget competing in the ratings. Like, nobody took WCW seriously as a company. He said he's like, WCW didn't pay for Shaq and all those guys. He's like, they were my friends. Like, Mr. T and Shaq. Like, they said, look, make this as big as possible to show us that you can bring this to the company. And once they did, they were like, okay, cool. They said they got sponsorship deals. They got licenses deals. Like, people were treating Turner Broadcasting's version of wrestling, which is WCW, as a respectable company. Like, oh, it's not just something niche for kids wise. We could actually make this a profitable business and a huge part of our television conglomerate, which rubbed the TV folks the wrong way because eventually it would Ted Turner's love for wrestling would the rest of history. Which is who, man? You guys, you brothers are good at what you do. I tell you that much. You guys are good at what you do. But with that being said, I want everybody to please follow us on all social media platforms at Wrestling Realm. Subscribe to our Patreon, Twitch, and YouTube at The Wrestling Realms. Also, follow Championship Culture _. Is that correct, brother?
Yes, it is. You got
on Instagram as well. Please like, subscribe, and engage in the conversation with us once again. Follow the brothers at all the social media handles. If you're watching the show, you can see it on the screen. These are some of the most talented brothers that I've ever had the chance to be brothers with. Everybody's doing so many things, so much going on, especially going into WrestleMania season. Generally, we are 2 weeks away. We have about 2 shows left before WrestleMania. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to drop a crazy bomb about WrestleMania 40. I'm telling y'all, it's coming for me personally.
And Dylan was waiting for it.
I'm not saying it now. I'm trying to tell you. I should say it right now, but I'm not going to.
Dylan was waiting.
I am. I want to say it so bad.
Just say it.
But I'm just not going to because when you guys say it, I'm going to prove it to you guys. And I got to catch you guys before you guys start hitting the road. Look at Brian, just trying to catch it. Before you guys start hitting the road and do all these things. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We thank you for hanging with us.
There we go.
It's like a ASMR subliminal messaging in the background. Definitely go head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheWrestlingRealm, and watch season 2 of Championship Culture. Catch up on all of season 1 every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Some shows are live, some shows are not. So stay tuned for all the announcements and the advertisements coming up just to, stay up to date and, once again, participate and engage in the conversation with us. We got to get out of here. We have a lot to do. Please join us next week as we continue our road to WrestleMania. This has been fun. This WrestleMania is going to be absolutely insane. I don't know why Brother Hugh has confetti coming from his head. Who knows? We got to get out of here. It's tweaking out here, man. Brother Hugh's video just had confetti. We out of here. Peace.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes! Everybody has a story.
It was crazy. Second.